and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
Open up your Bibles with me, if you brought them today, to the book of Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4. If you didn't bring your Bibles, it's okay. It's on the screen. And if you don't have a Bible, ask for one, and we would love to give you that. I still believe we have some around. I used to mention that all the time at all of our campuses, and I'll have to check to see if we still have as big of a supply. But genuinely, if you don't have a Bible, I'd love to get you one. And so if you don't have one, and we don't have one today, leave at any campus your name and address, and I'll personally mail you one. Because one of our goals is to make sure that we are esteeming His Word and learning it. Amen. And it helps to have one. It helps to have a Bible to begin with. Luke 4 and verse number 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. I like that. Full of the Holy Spirit. Returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Wow. He ate nothing during those days, and when he had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, watch this, "It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone." He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "I will give you all of this domain and its glory. And it has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, it'll be yours." And Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13 is what he's quoting there. And he led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written." Now, the enemy is quoting scripture. Psalms 91 verses 11 through 12. "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "It is said," or another way you could say it is written. He's going to quote here Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every temptation, with Jesus passing them all, he left him until a more opportune time. Now watch this in verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Notice the connection there of winning privately and having power publicly. We all want power on our public lives. But power in public is based off of what we do in secret. Jesus said, "What you do in secret will be rewarded openly." Jesus here passed test in private, and so now he's walking in public power. And watch this, he comes in the power of the Spirit. News about him is spread through all the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, as was his custom. His custom was to come to church. I like it. He entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Now watch this. And the book of the prophet Isaiah, so he's quoted Deuteronomy 3 times, now he's in Isaiah, was handed to him, and he opened up the book and found the place where, notice, it was written. And he says this over his life, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." This is Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 2. And when he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He quotes scripture three times from the book of Deuteronomy, one time from the book of Isaiah. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, is quoting scripture to his enemy and over his life. When he is under attack, he is quoting scripture over his life and to the enemy. When he's coming to reveal himself, he finds the place where it is written in Isaiah, and he says, "This is me." And he quotes this scripture over his life. Now, Jesus is God made manifest in the flesh. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." We know that he could just thump Satan and make him go. But the reason why these things are here is because Jesus is showing us examples. If you've ever done homework with a child, I try to limit my interaction with that. Thank God for my wife. But if you've ever done homework with a child, oftentimes, whether it's in basic English or math, they will show you a sample problem as an example. They will work and solve that problem for you to show you how to solve your current problem. Oh, come on now. Before you work your problem, they're going to show you an example of someone who already whipped the problem. Show you the strategy they used to whip it so that you stand a better chance against the one you're facing right now. And the reason why this is in here and the reason why Jesus made sure it was, because remember, no one was with him in the wilderness. He's there alone. And he didn't write the book of Luke. Well, how did they know about it? He came back and taught them. This is how you beat the enemy. You want to know how to beat the enemy? This is how you beat the enemy. The enemy came to me and tested my life. This is how I beat him. Now, I want you to know, if you haven't figured this out already, you are going to be tested by the enemy. Many of you right now are in a period of a very extreme private temptation. You're wrestling with things in private. There are things warring against your heart and mind, trying to lure you back to old mistakes, trying to lure you back to old sins and old ways. You're being tempted by an enemy in that direction with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. There are others of you right now, you're facing a very strong physical test. Something is coming against your physical body. And it's not just something coming against your physical body. With that is coming thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. A fearful future, where your heart is seeing these things and seeing it go that way. Some of you are facing a financial test, and it's just a financial trial, and right now there's a lot of pressure financially, and you have a fear of like what that looks like. Each one of us in this world will be tested. The Bible is clear that our faith will be tried. Just as gold is put into a fire, Peter says, just as gold is put into a fire, so your faith will be put into the fire. And Jesus is showing us here, when you are tested, this is the way you win. You have the Word of God in your heart and in your mouth. This is the way you win against the enemy, and this is the way you win in life. When Jesus is standing up, starting his ministry, he's not just standing up with his own words. He's not just standing up with things he hopes. He stands up with the book of Isaiah and he says, "This is me." Now, I want to ask you this. How much of that have you been doing in your life? I know it's good to read Psalm 23, but when's the last time you took Psalm 23 and spoke it over your life? This is me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This was not meant to read. This was meant to interact with. The Word of God was meant to be returned unto him. It will not return unto him without power. And so out of this, we genuinely want to come to God with his word and pray his word over our life. When's the last time you saw something going on in the lives of your children and found scripture and prayed scripture over them? What if you saw them struggling and you opened up the book of Daniel and you read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they would not bow down? And out of that, like, spoke that over your children, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So my child, call them by name. They will not bow down just because the music plays. They're not afraid of a fiery furnace. Jesus will be right there in the middle of that fire with them. Jesus says, you want to know how to win? That's how you win. You know how I won? Jesus came back. He came back from this private test and he said, the devil tested me in there For 40 days he tested. Well, how did you beat him? I beat him with the word. I opened up the book of Deuteronomy and I told him, this is where I am. I want you to do that. Well, you know, some of you are facing things financially, genuinely. What scriptures are you standing on? Like some of you, you just tithed. What scriptures did you stand on? You just gave. What scriptures did you stand on? See, the enemy wants to distance us from the word. He doesn't mind us taking some action and praying some nice prayers, so long as it's not rooted with the word of God in our heart and in our mouth. Because the spirit of faith is not just taking an action. The spirit of faith is the word is near you. Go to the book of Romans. We're here in Luke. Go over to Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 8. I believe that faith can overcome the whole world. That faith is the victory that overcomes the whole world. But many people think they're in faith and they're not. Because faith is not based out of presumption and desire. Faith is based on one thing, the will of the Lord. And when you know God's will, you can move from a position of faith. And so faith can move mountains. Faith can overcome the world. Faith can change anything. Faith can create substance to the things that you desire. But I want you to see what faith is according to Romans chapter 10. Watch this in verse number, Romans 10 and verse number 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. Now let me ask you this real quick. Was the word near Jesus when he was in a test? Yep. As soon as he's tested, the word is near him. Well, where was it? Exactly where it says it to be here. In his mouth and in his heart. He didn't have to do a quick Google search. Now, what was that scripture I read a couple of months ago? Nothing wrong with the Google search. In fact, I'd recommend it. And more on that in a minute. But where was the word in him? It was near him. Where was it? In his heart and where? In his mouth. In his heart and in his mouth. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. So faith always has the word near. Growing up, I grew up in a household of faith, like genuinely, not just like we believe God and like we love him, but like we believe God. When we face anything, we believe God. And literally, scripture was our art in our house. I mean, our art in the house was scripture. I can remember like confession sheets with nothing but scripture on them posted on the fridge. And I would dare say, what happened to that culture? The word is near you. Is the word near you or is the word far from you? See, the devil, he wants you in the realm of reason, far away from the word of God. Because if he can get you in the realm of reason, he will whip you every time. He wants you thinking about the problem instead of thinking about the promise. He wants you talking about the problem instead of talking to the problem. He wants you looking at the mountain instead of talking to the mountain. And Jesus said here, you know what I do when I was under attack? The word was near me. It was in my heart and it was in my mouth. And like never before, I want the word near you. And if you have to take a Google search, make you a good one. Like Google the right thing when you get home. You can literally type in your, thank God for this technology of what it offers us. You can literally Google scriptures to pray over my children, scriptures to pray over my husband, scriptures to pray over my wife, scriptures where it says God will meet all my needs, scriptures for healing. You can have within 30 seconds, depending on your internet connection, you can have within a matter of seconds, many scriptures concerning your issue. And whatever your issue is, I don't care what your issue is, get as specific as you want with Google. You will find that there is a scripture that supports your case. And I want you to stop going to war trying to outthink the enemy and outthink this problem. Come on, church. I want you to go to war with the word of God in your mouth and in your heart. This is what God has said. The word is near me. Well, where is it? It's in my heart and it's in my mouth. When the word of God is in your heart, it means you see the problem through the lens of the word. If you were to wear sunglasses, I don't wear sunglasses. I should, because today I almost ran over someone in the Highland Colony parking lot because the sun was shining directly in and they did not see me and they walked right out in front of me. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for angels. So I probably should wear sunglasses, but my wife wears sunglasses a lot. And so when you're wearing sunglasses, you see the world through the lens you're wearing. And when the Word of God is in your heart, I want you to understand this. It doesn't just mean you have a word. It means the Word has you. And there's a big difference between you having a word and you spending enough time with that word until the Word has you. And when the Word has you, you don't just see the bills, you see them in light of Philippians chapter 4. And it's like, my God will supply all of my needs. And so I don't see a vision and a future, a fear, where I'm like, how are we going to pay for this? I see the Lord supplying all of my needs. I don't see just the issue at hand. I'm seeing it through the lens of the Word of God. So that's what it means to have it in my heart. And then I take what's in my heart and I speak it out of my mouth. I begin to say and speak that promise over my life. Now, there's so much scripture concerning this. I want to look at a lot of them. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see Paul here say something very interesting. Many of you know this. In fact, we looked at this even during our marriage series. But notice in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, he said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Notice the Bible is very clear. You're going to have some seasons where you need to be told to be strong. That there's going to come things against you that try to weaken you. There's going to come some things against your heart, some things against your family, some things against your body. It's going to be, he literally calls it here, an evil day. That you look at it and you say, this is evil. And some of you, like I have that big in my heart right now for many of you. Like genuinely right now in this season, you are facing deep inward temptation. That there's something in you trying to pull you off track for God's life, for God's plan for your life. And the enemy is tempting you. It's an evil day. And he says here, when you're in that evil day, do not try to be strong in your own strength. Do not try to sit there and be like, you know what I'm going to be today? More disciplined. You know what I'm going to be today? I'm not going to do it again. That's strong in willpower. The Bible does not tell you be strong in willpower. The Bible tells you to be strong in God's power. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now notice what this means. Like, and that would be great if it's like, okay, be strong in his strength. What does that look like? He says, I'm going to tell you how. Put on the full armor of God, verse 11, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. My issue is not physical, it's spiritual. Is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. Now watch the word of God here. The place the word of God is to have in your life. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, who you are in Christ. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, there's the word again, of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. With which you will be able to extinguish, I love this, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know what that tells me? There's not one single thing the enemy has that the shield of faith cannot stop. I don't care what he's throwing at you. I don't care what he's throwing at me. There is nothing he has, no weapon that he has that can penetrate the shield of faith. It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, I want you to notice here, so far, he's talking about defensive weapons. And I'm thankful with the defensive weapons that I can stand against every attack. But he's about to tell you about an offensive weapon, and watch what it is. In verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, a mind that's renewed. I have a Savior. And the sword of the Spirit, which is, notice this, the Word of God. So all the pieces of armor are defensive. And so that means I can withstand any attack and not be harmed because I have armor. But I don't know about you. I don't want to just stand there and take it. No, come on now. I said, I don't know about you. I don't want to just stand there and take it. Just stand there and be like, well, what are we doing? Well, we're going to make it through. We got the armor of God. I want to fight back. I don't want to just have him put a lick on me and the armor take it. I want to put a lick on him. I don't want to just have him coming against me. I want to come against him. I'm not just going to sit here and be defensive. I want to go on the offense. And he says, well, what is your offensive weapon? It is the spoken word of God. It is the word of God in your heart. It is the word of God in your mouth. And you stand up and you say, let me tell you what Deuteronomy says. Let me tell you what Psalm says. And you begin to talk back to what is facing you. You begin to talk to those things. The word of God in your heart. The word of God in your mouth. Now, literally, the Bible tells us constantly about these things. And I just want to show you some of these scriptures on the screen. Psalms 119 and verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Now, I ask you, what are you treasuring in your heart? You know how you know? Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth leaks. Whatever is in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. And you know how you know if the word of God is in your heart? It's going to come out of your mouth. And out of this, he says, look, I don't want to sin against you, God. And so what did I do to not sin against you? I didn't wake up and say, I'm not going to do it again. I didn't wake up and say, I'm going to try harder next time. He said, here's how I'm not going to sin against you. I have treasured your word in my heart. If you had flies in your dog bowl, I don't know if you have dogs. I'm trying not to have them. I've got two. long stories there. But out of that, like if you have a dog bowl outside and you have all these gnats in the dog bowl, you could try to bend down and get each one of those flies out, each one of those gnats out. Or you could just turn on the water hose and fill it up until the good, clean water pushes all the bad water out. And I want to encourage you, if you are wrestling with temptation, it's not just a matter of like trying to get the bad stuff out of your life. Don't focus on getting the bad stuff out. Focus on getting the good stuff in. The good stuff in will push the bad stuff out. Your word have I hid. I've treasured it in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the word of God is to be treasured in my heart. Watch what Colossians says. I'll put up Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ, watch this, the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That the word is to richly, I love that word, it's to richly dwell in me. I'm to have an abundance of the word of God in me. That I don't just, one of the things that I've noticed, I've been reading a lot of the old saints, like people who walked with God in the 1600s and 1700s. One of the things that they all had in common was this: they would pray the word of God. They would pray the word of God. They wouldn't just read the story with the woman with the issue of blood. They would pray it. Father, I thank you, and I press, and I touch the hem of your garment. There is healing power in you, and your power, it flows from that garment into me. That other people may be touching you, Father, but I'm going to touch you with the hand of faith. They wouldn't just read it, they would pray it. They would internalize it as their truth. And I want to encourage you, like, honestly, and I don't mean to shame, but I do mean to, like, inspire. When's the last time you did anything like that? Of genuinely opening up the Word of God and saying, God, this is me. This is me right here. And what you did for them, God, you're going to do the same thing for me. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, watch this, and my words abide in you. If this ever became real to us, ask whatever you wish. This is Jesus talking. And it will be done for you. This is a verse on prayer. But here's what happens. We're praying what we want instead of what he wrote. And our prayer is coming from our desire and not his word. And there's nothing wrong with our desire. He genuinely wants to meet your desire. But your desire has to be backed by his words. And notice, his words need to be where? Abiding in you. Now, it's one thing to visit a place. I visited Holiday Inns on my past trip. I was out preaching last weekend and all last week. I stayed in a Holiday Inn, and I don't feel any smarter. I was glad to get home, man. Glad for my bed. But out of that, when you visit something like a hotel, you're there for a few days, but then you leave. When you abide in something, that's your place of residence. And what happens is we abide in Instagram, we abide in ESPN, we abide in, you know, Hulu, we abide in all of these apps and all of these things, all of these games, and we visit God's word. And God said, if you could ever make that shift into abiding in my word and visiting everything else, you would be amazed at what I could do for you. That when you knew my word, like you knew those stats, when you knew my word, like you know that game, when you know my word, like you do current news, when you know my word, like you do all these other things, you would be amazed at what it would do for your prayer life. Because if you ask most people, what scriptures do you have based off what you're praying for? You know what they'd be able to tell you? Nothing in particular. And as long as it's none in particular, that's exactly what you're going to get. Nothing in particular. But when you make a decision to return God's word to him and to not just pray any old prayer because that's what you want, but to find God's word concerning what you're praying for, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall have whatever you wish. It'll be done for you. Check out what John wrote in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We have confidence. Why? It's not according to what we want. It's according to what? His will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. It is powerful when my kids come to me and said, but Dad, you said. You said when we got home you would throw the ball. Like that's a powerful request because they're taking my word and returning it to me. And here's what I genuinely want you to do throughout the course of this month. I want you to put the word of God first place in your life. I want you to find scriptures concerning your fight. Find scriptures concerning your fight. Google scriptures concerning your fight. And I want them to be near you. I want them in your heart, and I want them in your mouth. In the book of Daniel, we see this young man. Daniel's such an inspiration. He had an excellent spirit and just amazing. But he reached a moment in his life where he knew, there's something that I cannot fix with my hands. He saw promises concerning Israel that he knew he would not be able to bring to Israel in his own strength. And so he made a decision that I will not work on this with my hands, but I will work on this with my prayers. And what I sense for so many of you is you have problems you have been trying to fix with your hands. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with your finances, maybe it's with your marriage, but you have been trying to fix these issues with your hands. And God says, what if you stopped with the work of the hands and you came in with the work of your prayers? And Daniel, for 21 days, just set aside time to begin working with his mouth. Jesus literally told us that we would reign as kings in the book of Revelation. Romans chapter 5 tells us that you will reign in life by one Christ Jesus. I'll ask you this humbly. When a king wants a ditch dug, he does not pick up a shovel, does he? He opens his mouth. And you have been called kings and priests of God. We work with words. We work with words. In the mouth of a king, there is power. Jesus said, if you want something to come, tell it to come. If you want something bound on earth, bind it with your mouth and it will be bound in heaven. If you want something loosed on earth, loose it with your mouth and it will be loosed in heaven. And Daniel goes to work with his prayer. He goes to work with his word, standing on the promises, saying, God, this is what you said. 3 weeks in, an angel comes and just appears to him. Daniel falls down. It's an amazing scripture. And he says, Daniel, I want you to know something. From the moment you first started praying God's word, heaven heard you. He said, and I've been at war, just as Ephesians 6 tells us, I have been at war with things you couldn't see. There were things warring, contending for this. There were things in the spirit trying to stop this. But he says, as soon as you started praying God's word, I came. And he said, the reason why I'm here right now, he said, oh, Daniel, I get this in your heart. I have come for your words. I have come for your words. Daniel saw something happen in his life. Why? It didn't come by his hands. It didn't come because he tried harder. It came for his words. And I want to encourage you in your life, God can come for your words. I want you to give God something to move for. I want you to give God something to come for. I want you to have something in your life where you say, God, here is what you said. Here's what you said in your word. And this word is going to be near me. So near, it's going to be in my heart and it's going to be in my mouth. And I am not going to try to make headway any longer with what I can do in my strength. Because when I use my hands, I see the best I can do. But when I pray, I see the best you can do. And so, Father, I am going to pray your word over my life. I'm going to pray your word over my sons and over my daughters. I'm going to pray your word over my finances. I'm going to pray your word over my health. I'm going to pray your word over my mind. I'm going to pray your word. And Jesus says, thank you for looking at the first problem. You saw how to solve the first one through my example. Now you can solve any problem you are facing right now. Why? It is written right here. It's mine in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you it will not return unto you void. And Father, I thank you just like never before, Lord Jesus, give us a passion for your word. Let us be people who read it. Let us be people who study it. Let us be people who press into it. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that your power and your might work mightily. Father, we thank you that old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. Father, I just thank you. I just hear in my heart of what we've already been talking about as a church, Father, that we're entering into Revelation chapter 3 year, just the year of the open door. And Father, I thank you that people are crossing over thresholds where there is change in them, that they will no longer be wrestling with what they wrestled with before, and they will no longer be identified by their struggles and by their weaknesses, by their sicknesses, or by their diseases. But Father, I thank you whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we proclaim, Father, by the power of your Spirit, liberty for every captive at every campus in Jesus' name. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your power in our midst. And we say, Father, we will be never the same in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.